just give an idea of the magnitude of the consequences of the Zika virus during these epidemics. During 2015 and 16, only in Brazil, we reported more than 2,000 confirmed cases of microcephaly associated to Zika virus. And that is a huge number, because if we compare that with previous numbers that were between 100 and 200 per year, you can try to understand how big was the impact of the Zika virus in that period.
Mm. Your team have completed a very big investigation on specifically the population of Pau de Lima in the favela. Can you tell us what that investigation is about? What is it that you were looking for?
Basically, what we were interested in when we started to perform this study was try to understand, first, the magnitude of transmission of the Zika virus, and second, what would be the facilitator factors or the barriers that can prevent people to become infected. So when we performed this study, the first striking finding was that a large proportion of the population was infected by Zika virus. 7 out of 10 people or residents living in this community become infected by the virus in 2015, only in a period of 3 to 4 months. So 73% of the population become infected. And this is huge, and it's higher than the infection rate observed in other places. The other big finding of this study is that because we were following this population before the Zika epidemics, we knew which residents were infected by dengue virus before the outbreak, and we were able to relate this previous infection of dengue with the risk of infection of Zika virus. And we realized that residents that have antibodies against dengue, they were less likely to be infected with Zika virus. So they were have a kind of natural protection against the infection of Zika.
But I guess what you found is that over time, Zika disappeared from the more than 70% of the population infected, and you think that that is probably down to something that was produced by dengue fever?
I would say that there is two phenomena there. So one is that the Zika virus disappeared very quickly after the epidemics. And because of the magnitude of that, our data suggests that this drastic reduction is a product of a natural immunity against the Zika virus. So when people become infected against with Zika, they cannot develop a Zika anymore. That's this kind of natural vaccine. But in addition to that phenomenon, what we saw is that dengue virus decreased the risk of infection against Zika. So there are two phenomena that are working together. Mm. So dengue protects in part, but also that was infected with Zika didn't get Zika again.
I wonder if there's anything that can be learned from what you've discovered, because there are warnings of potentially devastating outbreak of Zika and potentially in places like India. Can anything be taken from your study to help people there?
Yes, I think that in terms of public health impact, the first thing is that the fact that microcephaly clustered in the northeast of Brazil, it was associated with a huge transmission rate, with a very high transmission rate. So that's a first finding. So if there is outbreaks of Zika virus in other places with high transmission rate, it's going to be likely to have also sequelas like microcephaly. That is one point. The other point is that in tropical developing countries, most of those countries they use vaccines against dengue. So if people have antibodies against dengue, and this study, our study suggests that dengue protects in part against Zika virus, they could be a kind of a crossed immunity. So basically, it could be some implication of the previous campaigns of dengue vaccines on the chances of infection and in the chances to develop severe clinical manifestation as microcephaly.